Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. I want to thank you for joining us in the room. Thank you for joining us online. We're in the middle of a series we started a couple weeks ago called Relatable. And if today is your very first day, I just want to give you a heads up. This is one of those series that they build on each other. If this was a Netflix show, this would be episode 3. And so if this is your first time, you're coming in at episode 3, and that's perfectly okay. We're going to do a little recap. But what I would encourage you to do is at some point after today, download our app. It's a great way to stay connected with our church. But you can also go back and watch weeks 1 and 2. Because this has really been building on each other. And so if you're here today and you're like, man, this was really good. I'd love to know what else they talked about. That's the best way to go do that. Because this series, I believe, is one of the most helpful series we've ever done because it is one of the most universal series we've ever done. Because the topic we've been talking about for the last few weeks is truly universal. Every single person in the room needs what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and every single person in the room struggles with what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. And we've been talking about relationships, and we mean all relationships. We've been talking about relationships in terms of connections, and these connections can be with anyone. They can be with our friends. They can be with our family members. They can be with our neighbors. They can be with our coworkers. They can be romantic in nature. They can be completely platonic. This is a universal series about relationships because in all relationships, we are going to struggle. And I don't know if you thought about it, but you know what the one common denominator is in every relationship you have where you struggle? You. And so, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about God's design and God's plan for relationships, healthy relationships, relationships that can withstand adversity, relationships that can withstand struggle, relationships that last. And to do that, week one, we brought in a picture, a metaphor that we've kind of been talking about for the last few weeks. And that metaphor, we've been talking about climate. We all know what climate means. Climate is the average weather conditions for a given area. For the past month and a half, we have had Seattle's climate. I don't really know what happened, but hopefully we get Myrtle Beach's climate back. I'm ready for it. Because here's the thing we all understand about climate. A climate determines what will thrive and what will fail. If you are a fan of 40 degrees and rain, you have been thriving for the last 6 weeks. The rest of us, we're done with it. See, climate, especially the physical climate, it is the determination of what's going to thrive and what's going to fail in a given area. We can't plant whatever we want here. We have to plant what's going to thrive here. Some people move here because they want to thrive in this climate. Some people move away because they want to thrive in a different climate. When it comes to physical climate, there's nothing we can do about it, and we have to adapt. But the reason we'll be talking about climate is because more than physical climates exist. I've been arguing for a few weeks that when it comes to our relationships, all of them exist in an emotional climate, an emotional general condition of that relationship. And it is that climate more than anything else that is going to determine the success or failure of the relationship. So for the past few weeks, we've been asking a specific question about every relationship in our life, and it's this: what is the climate of this connection? Specifically speaking, what climate am I bringing to this connection? What general condition am I bringing? Because here's what we've discovered. Here's why this question is important. We've discovered that the safer the climate, the stronger the connection. The safer that emotional climate is in each relationship, the stronger the relationship is going to be. And we know this because week one is what Jesus told us. When Jesus invited us to love the people in our life the same way he loves us, he brings a safe climate to the relationship we have with him. It's why those of us that consider ourselves Christians trust him, because he brings safety to it. And so what we've been doing for the past few weeks is we've been looking at Jesus, and we've been learning how to take the gifts he gives us and apply them to relationships. And again, we could spend years talking about all the different ways Jesus loves us and all the different ways we can pass on his love. But we've really focused on highlighting four specific areas, four specific traits that we can bring to relationships. We've been calling them four keys to a safer climate. In week one, we learned that the primary key is sacrifice. All relationships will require sacrifice. And Jesus led with this. Jesus sacrificed for us in order to connect with us. And what he told us is that there is no greater way to show our love for other people than to sacrifice for them. There's no greater way than to lay down our wants for their needs. And so any great, healthy, growing relationship is going to require us to bring sacrifice to it. Last week, we looked at another trait, vulnerability. Vulnerability is our ability to push past the shame we have in our lives, push past the things that we think might disconnect, and admit, hey, I was wrong about that. Hey, I need help in this area. Hey, I'm confused. Hey, I dropped the ball there. It's our ability to lay down our defenses, because that gives other people permission to lay down their defenses as well, and it creates a tremendous amount of trust. Again, if you missed the last couple of weeks, I'd highly encourage you to go back and catch up, because we're going to keep moving today, because today we're going to talk about what honestly might be the key trait, like maybe the most important thing we have to bring to a relationship if we want it to last, if we want it to survive, if we want it to go stronger, if we want it to feel safe. And for many of us, it is the most difficult thing to understand how to do well in our relationships. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Every relationship we have will require forgiveness, either from us or for us. And since I can't control and you can't control what other people do, we're only going to talk about us for a moment. And specifically today, we're going to turn to Jesus to allow him to teach us how to forgive. Because I think the concept of forgiveness makes sense to most people. Like, especially if you're in a relationship and you want to stay in the relationship, the concept of, man, I need to forgive them, most of us kind of get that. Because if you decide you don't want to forgive them, you break the relationship. Now, I've done a whole series on why we need to forgive. And that's a conversation for another day, because we do need to forgive because it sets us free. But today, I want to have a conversation about how to forgive the people in our lives that we want to stay connected with. We want to stay in a relationship with, but they did something and it hurt us. And maybe you've had this experience, like you think you've forgiven it, and then you have a conversation that turns a little tense, and what happens? That previous hurt comes right back up and you just throw it in their face. And you're like, man, I didn't mean to do that, but you did it. Or if you're like me, you'll just be driving in the car, just driving down the road, thinking about things, and your brain just does that thing where it just starts connecting dots and it just starts wandering around. And next thing you know, that hurt's come up. And you're like, well, where'd that come from? But not only did it come up, you start feeling it again. And you get angry again, or you get sad again, or you get mad again. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, man, I thought I'd dealt with this. I thought I'd forgiven this. Why is it back? I think it's because forgiveness isn't natural. Forgiveness isn't normal. We don't know how to do it. For most of us, we think forgiving means forgetting. Well, if I just don't think about it anymore, it'll go away. But that doesn't work, because then it creeps back up at just the wrong moments, and you relive it over and over and over and over again. Any deep relationship you have, any long-term relationship you have, is going to require the skill of forgiveness. Is going to require me and you and us to learn how to actually forgive people if we want the relationship to stay strong, which is why Jesus constantly talked about forgiveness. When he was on earth for 33 years, the last 3 years of his life was what we call his public ministry. And just about everything we know about Jesus happened in those 3 years. That's when he taught everything he taught, and he was constantly teaching about forgiveness. He was teaching on the value of forgiveness. And what we're going to look at today, he actually teaches us how to forgive. It's as if he knew, looking forward, hey, man, this is going to be something that's going to be crucial. Because if you're going to love people like I love you, and if you're going to bring that love to relationships, forgiveness is required. But it is going to be difficult. It's not going to be natural. So I want to teach you how to do it. Now, I say how to do it, but I want to be very clear. I can't give you, and Jesus doesn't give us, a 1, 2, 3, 4 step-by-step process, and then you forgive. That's not how it works. Because forgiveness is actually a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle that God does in our heart. So while we can't learn a step-by-step process for a miracle, we can learn to position ourselves in line with what God wants. And as we're going to see today, we can allow him to shift our perspective on forgiveness. Because the main reason I can't forgive well and you can't forgive well and we can't forgive well is because we don't have the proper perspective on forgiveness. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, because that's the conversation Jesus wants to have. It's a perspective conversation. And it begins with a question that Jesus gets from this guy named Peter. And man, I'm so glad Peter is in the Bible. I'm so glad Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends, because Peter was the guy that would ask the question that no one else would ask. You know, Peter was the guy when Jesus would say something and they were all confused and everybody would, they would just kind of nod along because they were afraid. And Peter would go, I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense to me. And so one day Jesus is teaching about forgiveness. And he's talking about all these lofty goals about how to forgive. And Peter basically has the guts to say, you know what? I don't get it. And he asks this question that unlocks a conversation, that unlocks a teaching that I believe for every single one of us today can be beneficial to shifting our perspective, to teaching us how to position ourselves in a place where God can perform the miracle of forgiveness in our lives. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Matthew chapter 18. That's where we're going to be, Matthew chapter 18. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. And in verse 21, Jesus has been talking about forgiveness. Peter shows up and Peter asks a question. Peter came to him and asked, hey, Lord, talking about forgiveness, how often should we forgive someone that sins against, he says, me. How often should I forgive someone who sins against me? And then he throws out a number. He says, 7 times? Is that enough? How often must I forgive these people? How often must I forgive someone who continues to sin against me? And he says 7 times. That sounds like an arbitrary number, but it wasn't, because the rabbis of the day taught 3 times. Apparently, they were baseball fans. 3 strikes, you're out. And they didn't forgive anymore. And so Peter, in his brain, is going beyond the norm. He's going to the limit. He's saying, if 3 is normal, clearly, Jesus, at 7 times, I'm off the hook, and I don't have to forgive anymore. See, Peter was looking at forgiveness from a human perspective. He was looking at forgiveness the way I look at it. He was looking at it the way you look at it. He was looking at it as if something we have to do for other people. And he was saying, clearly there has to be a limit to this. There's a limit, right? Like, we have to stop. And Jesus says, you don't have the proper perspective on forgiveness. And until we shift your perspective, you're never going to be able to understand how to forgive. And so Jesus, so Peter goes, 7 times, clearly that's enough. And Jesus answers this way. He says, nope, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Jesus doesn't literally mean 490 times. He doesn't mean keep a little clicker in your hand and forgive. Jesus' answer, and what he's going to say in a moment, is indicative of, he's trying to get Peter and us to shift perspectives. Because Peter was coming at it from a human point of view, and he was saying, what's the limit? When do I get to stop forgiving? And Jesus says, you don't. There is no limit to your need to forgive, because there's no limit to how much I've forgiven you. See, what Jesus was really teaching, and what we're going to see today, is the process of forgiveness is something we have to position ourselves for so that God can do in us. And until we've positioned ourselves for it, we can't really receive it, because, as we're going to see today, forgiven people forgive people. If we've been forgiven, we forgive. It could also say forgiven people can forgive people. This is the point where I have to pause each week, because one of the things I love about our church, man, is each week we have people who attend our church, who watch online, who don't consider themselves Christians yet. You're just kind of checking out Jesus, trying to dip in your toes in faith, trying to see if it's going to be real. And man, our church is designed for you. We're so honored that you're here. We hope what you hear today gives you a desire to follow Jesus. But if you don't believe in Jesus and you're wondering why it's difficult to forgive, it's because you've never experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. Because it's only as we've been forgiven that we can forgive. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us and what he's going to show us today. Is that it's only once we've received it that we can truly give it, because it is a miracle that happens in our heart. And it's a miracle that's going to require his intervention over and over and over again. See, when he says, not 7, but 70 times 7, I do not believe Jesus is inviting us to stay in abusive relationships where we have to forgive over and over and over and over and over again. Yes, we should forgive, but we should also get out of that relationship. I don't believe Jesus is assuming, yes, you're going to have to forgive 490 times. What he's saying is this process of forgiveness will take time, and you may have to forgive the same offense 490 times. Because he knows we're humans. And he knows how our minds work. And he knows how we connect dots. And he knows how new tensions can bring up old problems. And so he's basically preparing all of us to say, it's going to be a process. You're going to have to invite me into it. And you may end up having to forgive that same thing over and over and over again. And you may get to the point, maybe you were at the point today where you just think it's unforgivable. You just think, I don't know how to do it. I can't get past it. I can't make it happen. And he says, I'm not done yet. I've still got a whole story to tell you. Because what he got from Peter and what he gets from us is, y'all don't get it. You still think forgiveness is about you. And so as Jesus often does, he tells a story. We call these stories parables. Jesus was constantly telling stories because he knew that was the best way to communicate a truth. Now there's something to understand about a parable, and this is going to make way more sense at the end of it, but I want to tell you right now. Parables are intended to teach one truth. Parables are not meant to be picked apart and try to make every little piece fit into a theological prism. Parables were simply stories he used to teach one truth. And the one truth this parable is trying to teach is to shift our perspective on forgiveness and to help us begin to see it how he sees it. Because Peter wanted to know what the limit was. Peter wanted to know when he could stop, which meant he didn't really understand how forgiveness works. So Jesus, as he often does, says, all right, guys, take a seat. Everybody chill out. And he tells them this story. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, this is the way Jesus often described his movement, his followers, his group. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. So he sets the stage, completely changes. He's not talking about anything but finances. Cut and dry conversation. And he says, you could think about this way. The kingdom of God can be compared to this king, and he's loaned some money out to his servants, and he decides it's time to collect the debt. And here's what happens. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Now, it says millions there, but the translation really could have said zillions. Like, it was just some obscene number that this guy was never in his lifetime going to have the capacity to pay back. That's what Jesus says. He says he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. Because that's what happens. If you owe someone more money than you have, like if you owe more money on your house, they just take your house and they get the best they can and they say good luck. That's the way it works. And Jesus is saying, this guy came in, man. He owed the king more than he could possibly pay. And so the king did what kings do. He said, hey, arrest them all, sell everything they have. Let me just see how much I can get back. Watch this. But the man fell down before his master and begged, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Now, this was a lie. There's no way he could pay it all. He knew he couldn't pay it all. But he begged. He said, please, master, have mercy on me. And watch what happens. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him, and he canceled his debt. Now, see, we think Jesus just told us a financial story. No. Jesus just told us a forgiveness story. But what he did by changing it to finances is he takes all the emotion out of it. He takes all of the pain out of it, and he clarifies exactly what the practice and the act of forgiveness actually is. All forgiveness is, at the core, is canceling a debt. That's it. That's what forgiveness is. It's choosing to cancel a debt. It's choosing to say, they don't owe me anymore. I mean, we want to push back and say, no, it's not about that, but it is. It's why we constantly talk about getting even with people. It's because their actions, we feel, stole something from us. They took something from us. And so in our minds, we are angry and we cannot forgive until the score is settled. Until we get even. Until they pay us back in some way. And what Jesus is simply trying to get us to grasp is, no. That's why you struggle with forgiveness. It's because you think of forgiveness that way. You think of forgiveness as evening the score. That's not what I mean when I say forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply choosing to cancel the debt. So if you want to learn how to forgive the people in your life, just learn to cancel their debt. Just decide they don't owe you anymore. And we say, well, Jesus, that sounds really difficult. How do we do that? And he says, well, I'm not done talking yet. But there's one thing we need to make very clear before we move forward. Because Peter asked a question about how much should I forgive? And then Jesus told a story about a king forgiving. So what do we all do? We think we're the king in the story. Let me help you. When Jesus tells a story, he's the king. All right? So you know what that means? We're in the story. We're the debtor. We're the one who owed the king a debt we absolutely could never pay. And what we deserved was to be thrown in jail for the rest of our lives because of our sin, because of the mistakes I've made and you've made and we've all made that created a debt we could never pay on our own, which is why Jesus had to pay the debt for us on the cross. When his death paid the price for every mistake I've made and you ever will make or have made, past, present, and future, once for all time, paid for on the cross. He's the king, we're the debtor. And we have been forgiven. He canceled all our debt. Every single piece. And that's going to be crucial for us, specifically those of us that consider ourselves Christians. And it's going to be crucial for those of us who don't consider ourselves Christians to understand what's going to be required before you can truly learn to forgive other people. It's crucial for us to understand we're the ones whose debt, whose massive, unpayable debt has been forgiven. Got it? Let's keep going. But when the man left the king, us, massive debt paid, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. Just a few thousand dollars. Not squillions, not zillions, not unpayable, a few thousand dollars. And watch what happens. He grabbed him by the throat and he demanded instant payment. And his fellow servant fell down and begged for a little more time, saying, be patient with me. I'll repay it all. Just be patient. But watch this. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now, at this point of the story, you could be thinking, what is wrong with the debtor? And you'd be thinking correctly because Jesus is trying to make a point. Even the people in the story thought there was a problem. Watch this. So when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Well, what do you think the king's going to do? Then the king called in the man that he had forgiven, canceled debt, and he said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? It's like, I forgave this massive, unpayable debt of yours. And you can't forgive this? You can't forgive a couple thousand bucks? You can't give him more time? Watch this. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. So clearly, if we don't forgive, Jesus is going to torture us. No, this is what I mean about parables are teaching one thing. So we can't extrapolate it and think, oh, we're going to be tortured. But there is a truth to the end of the story. Because when we choose to live in unforgiveness, when we choose to live upset with other people, we do find ourselves in prison. And we are the ones who are tortured. Because I'm not sure if you realize it or not, they don't know you're mad at them anymore. They moved on. We're the ones who suffer over and over and over again. And it is because, as Jesus is trying to teach us, we lack perspective on forgiveness. We focus on what they owe us. And we feel like we have to get it back. And we want to fight for it. And Jesus says, how in the world are you so focused on that little bit they owe you, when if you just turn around, you could see this massive debt that's been forgiven in your name? Now, you have to be careful at this point, because you could hear Jesus belittling what's happened to you. And that is in no way what he would ever do. I know some people in this room, you're forgiving massive things. You're forgiving deep hurt. You're forgiving trauma. And so it's not to belittle what happened to you. The goal is to magnify what Jesus did for you. It's not a belittling, it's a magnifying. Because it's not until we understand what he did for us that we're actually fully and finally able to give it to other people. We have to understand that it is forgiven people that forgive people. And how do we do that? We choose to cancel their debt. We cancel it. But we'll never be able to do that until we have the perspective on our debt that's been canceled, which is why Jesus tells the story the way he does. And it's as our perspective shifts, as we become aware of what's been forgiven on our behalf, that hopefully we find it easier to position ourselves under him to allow the miracle of forgiveness to happen through us. Now, as I said, I cannot give you a step-by-step process for forgiveness. But as we close, I do want to give you some keys, some truths from God about how we can best position ourselves for that miracle to happen. And again, we're not talking about everyone. I'm talking about the close connections in your life, the friends, the family, the neighbors, and the coworkers, the one you've been thinking about the whole time, that you've been carrying a grudge against for a while. And maybe you want to forgive it, maybe you don't want to forgive it, but that connection's never going to feel safe again until you do. And probably you're the only one who's suffering in their relationship, because they probably don't even know what happened. Or they've probably moved on. So how do we do it? How do we truly bring forgiveness to a relationship? Well, the first thing we have to do, as Jesus just illustrated in this entire teaching, the first step to forgiving other people is this, is to learn to be thankful that our debt has been canceled. So before you even begin to try to forgive other people, if there's a name, if there's a face, if there's a grudge, your first step is to pray and thank God that your debt has been canceled. And spend some time there. Just spend some time with God, thanking him and celebrating all the mistakes you've made in your life and how every single one of them has been wiped clean. Celebrating all the debt that's been created. And Jesus on that cross said, paid for. You're good. White as snow. Because see, that gratitude is where God can begin to grow the grace required to forgive someone else. The gratitude to God for what he's forgiven in us is the fuel to forgive other people. And so it begins with us. Gratitude, gratefulness that our debt has been paid. Then you and Jesus need to have a conversation. And in that conversation, it starts with this. Identify who you need to forgive. Say their name out loud. Not now. Say their name out loud. Not now. They could be sitting beside you and they'd be very surprised. But you and Jesus have a conversation. Identify the person. Jesus knows. You know. Just say it out loud. Jesus, I need to forgive this person. And then take it one step further. You need to determine what they owe. Specific, not general. Be specific. All right, this is what happened. This is what I think they took from me. This is what I think they owe me. This is what happened. Yes, I wish they would do this. I wish this would happen. Like, be specific. We're not seeking general forgiveness here. We're speaking specific forgiveness for a specific act. This is how we position ourselves. Grateful to Jesus determine what they owe, and then compare that to what you owed. Compare that to what Jesus is going to sit there saying, well, I've already forgiven all of this for you. And it is with that perspective that in prayer, you and Jesus, just as he chose to forgive you, you and Jesus decide in that moment to cancel their debt. Jesus, in your name, I cancel this. It's gone. They don't owe me anymore. And then, this is crucial, because we think that's the last part. And it's why we get confused. It's why it keeps coming back over and over and over again. Once we've canceled their debt, in Jesus' name, we have to determine to take one more step. And it's this: dismiss the case. Dismiss it. Because you're the judge on this. And we have an enemy who's a prosecutor. And he's wanting to bring up old stuff and try new cases. He's wanting to make you relive that pain. Relive what happened to you. And what Jesus is saying, and what we can do, is when that comes back up, because it will come back up, because pain comes back up, because pain requires time to heal. When that pain comes back up, in Jesus' name, you know what you say? I have already dismissed that case. That has no relevance here. That's been dismissed. And it gives you an off-ramp. And it gives you a better step than hoping you just forget about it, because you may never forget about it. And the goal isn't to forget about it. The goal is for you not to relive it every time you remember it. And at first, you're going to, because it's a wound and it causes pain. But the path to healing isn't to relitigate. The path to healing is to say, Jesus, we've dismissed that. Thank you for your forgiveness for me. Heal my heart. Heal this pain. Heal this struggle. Heal this hurt. Because he's the only one who can. They can't make it right anyway. And so what Jesus is inviting us to do is to sit under him and experience the miracle of forgiveness. And that will take time. But eventually, I promise you, in Jesus' name, when you think about it, you will not relive it. In fact, you'll be blown away at the goodness of God. That doesn't hurt anymore. You know when you get a cut? Or not a cut. Actually, I burned myself at Thanksgiving. That's true, I did. I burned myself at Thanksgiving with grease. Be careful. And for a long time, it really hurt every time I touch it. And then it got better, and it was very discolored, but it still hurt. And now, it's completely healed. But it's not the way it was. There's still a scar. There'll probably be a scar forever. But it doesn't hurt anymore. See, that's what forgiveness promises you. It doesn't promise that the visual results of their decisions will go away. It just promises it won't hurt anymore. It promises that you can be set free. And it may take more than 7 times of dismissing that case. You may just be dismissing cases for years. Just like our Heavenly Father does. Because I didn't stop sinning when I became a Christian. I still sin every single day. You know what happens every single day? Jesus looks at his son. I mean, God looks at his son. Jesus says, you pay for that one too? Jesus says, I did, Dad. Good, we're good. Case is missed. Over and over and over. Jesus is inviting us in to that conversation. He is inviting us in to live that freedom and to bring that climate of forgiveness and grace to every relationship we have. To bring that climate of safety and stability. So my prayer for all of us this week is that we can gain God's perspective on forgiveness, and we can position ourselves to receive the miracle he wants to give. And to help you do that, because I know it's a little complicated, we've created some resources for you this week. Each day this week, we're going to walk you through one of the steps we just talked about. We have a devotional aimed to guide you in that process of how to invite Jesus in, how to have this conversation. And our hope after this week is not that you're completely healed, because that's not going to happen in a week. But you've positioned yourself to dismiss that case so that the hurts of today will simply just be scars of tomorrow. Reminders, they're there. But there's no pain. There's no anger. Because you realize that they don't owe you anymore. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, we just love you so much. We're just so thankful for your Son. We're just so thankful for the gift of forgiveness. So, Jesus, I just pray today, as we receive that gift, may we give it, may we bring it to every relationship we have. May we create a climate of safety so that trust and intimacy can grow. Jesus, invite us into your miracle. Invite us in. Let us position ourselves under you. Let our perspective be changed, so that we see forgiveness the way you see it. Just as you've canceled our debt, may we freely cancel the debt of others. Because that is the only way to truly live free. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.